When you're wandering around in a wilderness where the comforts of a normal life are missing, it's easy to get cranky and to complain. During the last several months, I've caught myself feeling that way. 2020 has been a tough year. There are lots of things I miss, and I really want a more normal rhythm to life, and perhaps you do too. The ancient Israelites were experiencing some of this as they traveled toward the Promised Land. And as we'll see in our scripture passage, they became cranky rather fast. They started grumbling and complaining, and in the process, they revealed their lack of faith. So let's listen now to our scripture passage. It comes from the 11th chapter of Numbers. I'll read verses 1 through 6 and then 10 through 15. Let's listen to the scripture now. Now when the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes, the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Then the fire of the Lord burned against them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. But the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire abated. So that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned against them. The rabble among them had a strong craving. And the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a sucking child,' to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." Amen. We Americans are a people who love taking road trips. It's part of our culture, and road trips always seem to start well. Maybe it's because we're excited about our destination, or perhaps it's just the change of pace. After all, we're headed off to a new place. We get to see some new scenery and do some fun things. But every family that has ever taken a road trip knows that at some point, one of the kids will ask the question. And you know what the question is. Are we there yet? As a kid, it's a question that I ask my parents a gazillion times. It's what kids do when they're tired and want to get out of the car. And frankly, being stuck in a car for hours upon hours, as you do on a road trip, can make anyone cranky. And the longer we travel, the crankier we can get. When I was a kid, my parents took our family on a long road trip to New England, and I remember my brother, sister, and I asking a follow-up question to the question, "Why are you making us travel so far?" And you see what we did? We complained, and we turned our parents into the bad guys. Now, I guess it's just human nature to complain when we're traveling and things aren't going the way we want them to go. This was the case with the ancient Israelites. They grumbled and they complained and they turned God into the bad guy as they journeyed toward the Promised Land. And they did this on more than one occasion. But when they started this journey, they looked like they were going to be really good travelers. They were grateful that God was going to lead them to the Promised Land. They acted with obedience and faithfulness. They were willing to share what they had with others, and they were confident in God's leadership. But matters quickly turned for the worse. 3 days into their journey is when the complaining started. The people began rebelling against God, which simply revealed their unfaithfulness. The book of Numbers records a series of 7 rebellions that the Israelites committed against God. And 2 of these rebellions are included in chapter 11. Now, we're told in verse 1 that Israel's first offense was that they complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. In Hebrew, this phrase could be translated as the people took to complaining bitterly. They were acting like cranky children, only worse. Now, the Israelites had a history of complaining. When they had traveled from Egypt to Mount Sinai, they fussed about not having enough food and water. And when they got on the other side of Mount Sinai and started traveling toward the Promised Land, they fussed again about the very same thing. But God's response was different this time. Now, for those earlier complaints, before they reached Mount Sinai, God sent food and water. But later on, after they left Mount Sinai, God responded by punishing his people. So, why did God respond in such a different way? Well, one possibility is that the Israelites' complaints had gotten worse. God had lost his patience with his people. Keep in mind that they had been testing God's patience for a while. You may remember that incident when they made a golden calf and briefly turned to idolatry. Obviously, that wasn't good in their relationship with the Lord. But the primary reason God acted the way he did has to do with the fact that the people of Israel were now in a new kind of relationship with God. When they were at Mount Sinai, they entered into a covenant relationship with the Lord. And because of this, God expected more faithfulness from his people. So from this point forward, whenever the Israelites rebelled against God, consequences followed. Now, you might think of this in terms of a parent punishing a child. And they went through some hard times, but going through something difficult can actually be for the best in the long run. And, you know, we like to say no pain, no gain, which is one way to look at how God responded to the rebellious actions of Israel. God wanted what was best for his people. He wanted them to reach their goal and become a holy people. But to get there, they had to learn some hard lessons. Now, God was upset with their grumbling, and the Lord used this as a teaching opportunity. But this may leave us wondering if it's ever appropriate to complain to God about our own troubles. To answer this, we should first compare the complaints of the Israelites with the complaints of Jesus. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, he complained, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His complaint, though, came from a desire to follow God. He went to the cross in part because of his willingness to become obedient to the point of death and because of his desire to have his will conformed to that of God's. The complaints of Israel came from a selfish desire. They wanted to be comfortable, and they were ready to reject God at the first moment where God's will seemed to involve discomfort. Now, they lack faith. They lack patience, which is what bothered God and led to his wrath. The issue here isn't so much about the grumbling and complaining about their misfortunes. It has more to do with their hearts and their lack of faith. This first act of rebellion is quickly followed by a second. The scripture tells us that the people grumbled about their food. Moses even complained that God had given him too great a burden. Now, we get the sense that the complaining has infected everyone. It started out on the edges and then worked its way to the center. In verse 4, The phrase, the rabble among them, can be translated as the riffraff among them. This comes from the Hebrew word asafsuf, which refers to the non-Israelites who had joined the people as they marched out of Egypt. Think of them as the ones who were on the fringes of the community. They were the first ones to fuss about the food, but everyone else joined in. They all longed for the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic they had in Egypt. All they had to eat in the wilderness was manna, which, by the way, was given to them to teach them to trust God, that God would provide what they needed one day at a time. But the people still complained because they were tired of the food. Now, these feelings of discontent were spreading, moving from the fringes all the way to the center when Moses complained about his leadership responsibilities. And his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam also got in on the complaining. They became jealous of Moses' relationship with God. And Miriam and Aaron even ask, and you'll find this in chapter 12, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us?" Now, there was a lot of grumbling going on, and we may wonder why God just didn't give them what they wanted, just as he had done in the past. Our passage isn't very clear on this, but Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 sheds some light, and it says, "The Lord humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." The phrase, "one does not live by bread alone," means that Israel is called to something higher than simply meeting their basic needs. But really, that's all the Israelites could think about. Their worry and their lack of faith in God led them to think fondly of Egypt and the food they had there. And their desire for comfort distracted them from being faithful to God's purposes. Now, when times get tough, it is tempting to complain. And there's certainly a time and a place to lament what's wrong. But the grumblings of the Israelites came from a place of faithlessness. Psalm 78, which reflects back on Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, spells out why God responded with wrath to their complaints. And the scripture says that the anger of God mounted against Israel because they had no faith in God and did not trust his saving power. If they had more faith in God, that God would take care of them, then they might have been able to ward off those desires to gratify their comfort. But they didn't. And God punished them in a fitting way. The Lord sent them so many quails that the ground was covered for miles and miles at a depth of about 3 feet. There are so many quails that they got sick. Being overly focused on our cravings for comfort can interfere with God's calling on our lives. And Jesus urged his followers to keep their focus on the right things when he said, "Strive first for the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the lesson Israel needed to learn. It's a lesson Jesus lived. He confronted his own physical desires without sinning. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted to turn stones into bread, but he refused and he said, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." By quoting Deuteronomy, Jesus shows us that he resisted the temptation that Israel was unable to resist. They were unfaithful, as was Moses. But Moses was unfaithful for a different way. In chapter 10, verse 10, it tells us that his response to the people's complaints about food was one of displeasure. He was unhappy with his people. And this stands out because in the past, when the people complained, Moses often interceded on their behalf. But he didn't act this way after hearing their complaints about food. He wasn't happy with them. And Moses wasn't happy with God either. He complained that God's expectations of him to feed his people were just too great. Now, perhaps he lacked the fortitude needed to carry on despite the hardships that stood in his way. And he even questioned God, saying in verse 13, "Where am I to get meat to give to all this people?" In that moment, Moses failed to be faithful. He didn't want the responsibility to take care of his people. He let his circumstances control him. But in similar moments, Jesus did not fail. Throughout his ministry, Jesus demonstrated a love and a concern for his people, and he lived with great faith in God. Instead of trying to unload his burdens, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Whatever burden you bear, remember that you're not alone. God is here to help you shoulder the load, but it requires trust and faithfulness. Now, it's tempting to let our circumstances dictate our faith, and it can be tempting to turn God into the bad guy. But the Lord calls us to have faith when times are tough. So don't let your faith in God depend on your circumstances. And I want to encourage you today to live with trust and with fortitude and with perseverance. And most of all, with faith. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads and join me in this prayer? Oh God, as we wander through our own wilderness, I pray that you would strengthen the faith of each of us, renew us, and reignite our passion to share your love and your grace with our world. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.